For recording. Thank you. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on a video or audio conference. We are conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we are under a public health emergency. We would appreciate your patience as this may be the first DRB meeting for some. At times we will mute everyone but those who are speaking. On your own, please keep your audio on mute when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. So if the first time you've said something like, "This is Jolene Wolfley," and your remarks, and then more questions are asked, when you come back in, say once again, "This is Jolene Wolfley," and give your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask a question of the moderator, which is myself along with Jacobo Martinez. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the meeting. I would like the DRB members to introduce themselves. Let's start with the Water Utility Authority.
Chris Kavanaugh with the Water Authority.
Carl Garcia of Code Enforcement.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Recreation.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to, one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the DRB through Zoom, and two, allow DRB members to provide electronic signatures for approved plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I make a motion to suspend the rules as noted.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I second the motion.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and vote, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules for the purposes just stated. A note for our applicants. First off, there will be no DRB meeting next week, May 27th. The next DRB meeting after today will be June 3rd of 2020. If you have an approval on your application today, there will be electronic signing of those documents following the meeting today. Electronic signatures will not happen during the meeting in order to expedite the agenda. The finalized documents need to be submitted to Mr. Jay Rodenbeck, and he will route those documents for the DRB members after the meeting. Then the applicants will receive an email copy of the signed document. If you're approved with delegation, you will need to email me, the other DRB member accepting delegation, and Mr. Rodenbeck to get signatures at a later date. Those signatures will also be done electronically, and you need to include your blue sheet with your email. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, will you alert us to changes on our agenda today?
Yes, for item number 2, project 2019-002607, the agent has requested a deferral to June 24th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item 2, project 2019-2607 to June 24th?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I make a motion to defer item number 2 to June 24th.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I second.
Okay, let's vote, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena with the Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote to defer item 2 to June 24th. Anything else, Ms. Gomez?
For item number 4, the correct project number is 2020-003795.
Okay. So would everyone please make that note that item 4 is there's a typo with the number. It's project 2020-3795 and sketch plat 2020-44. Okay. Is that everything, Ms. Gomez?
That's all I have this morning.
Okay. Thank you very much for your work.
Of course.
Now that we have the agenda set for today, I will ask any members of the public that would like to speak on a particular item to let us know that now. This is similar to signing up to speak. You will sign up now, but your opportunity to speak will be when the case is called, similar to how we do in-person meetings. If you're on Zoom, please use the raise your hand feature from the participants list. If you are on video, you can literally raise your hand and we'll see you. If you're on audio, please press star 9. Just give a minute for that. Mr. Martinez, I don't see anyone from the public indicating they are here and wanting to speak on an agenda item.
Madam Chair, I confirm there's no one I see with their hand raised.
Thank you. If there are any technical issues this morning with our meeting and we need to close it down or the internet fails, I will end the DRB meeting and we will resume at 1 p.m. today using the same Zoom link and phone number. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where the staff and applicant meet to discuss projects, and the public can also ask questions and share input for those decisions. The DRB staff members apply the technical standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. As such, the DRB is not a policymaking board. I would like to introduce staff and swear them in at the same time. Ms. Maggie Gould is our planning manager for Development Review Services. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
And before I swear in Mr. Jacobo Martinez, I want to mention that Mr. Martinez, this will be his last DRB meeting. He is moving on in June to the Mexico Finance Authority. And I just want to mention what a pleasure it has been to work with Mr. Martinez as a DRB member, as a DRB reviewer. He's done a great job in helping us to convert to this Zoom format, and in his past work with the city has been our zoning enforcement officer and over code enforcement. He's done quite a bit for all of the citizens in Albuquerque, and I truly want to thank him. Mr. Martinez, do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for those kind words, and yes, I do.
Thank you. You're really going to be missed. It's just, you're a lot of fun. So I'm glad for your future, but I'm sorry to not have you part of our team anymore. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is a planner for the DRB. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I do.
Okay. And Mr. Shahab Biazar is our city engineer. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar. Yes, I do.
And Nicole Sanchez is legal counsel to the DRB.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nicole. Good morning. All right, we are ready to begin with item number 1. This is project 2018-1346, amendment to an infrastructure list 2020-82 for Green Jeans West LLC, located on Alameda Boulevard Northeast between San Pedro and Louisiana Boulevard. Would the applicant team for this case please raise your hand in Zoom, or you can literally raise your hand if you're on video conference. Okay, I see Jeremy Schell. Let's go ahead and unmute Jeremy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Are you the complete applicant team this morning?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Jeremy, if you'll just mention who you're with, and then I will swear you in.
This is Jeremy Shell with Respec Engineering, agent for Green Jeans West.
Thank you. Mr. Shell, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead and describe your application to us.
So I was here last week for the property across the street, as you guys may recall. And this is the same topic. And so I'll give you guys the short version today. This is the sewer in Alameda that has been deferred. And I believe based on last week's meeting that there's no issues with removing that from the infrastructure list on this project as we did across the street. But I am here this morning to receive any comments that you may have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Shell. I coincidentally drove by the Green Jeans project this week, and it was pretty interesting to see how how far along the project is. So we're excited to see it open. Go to the, once again, let me just double check. Are there any members of the public here to speak on item number one? Raise your hand now or press star 9 if you're on audio. All right, I don't see anyone. Let's go to the Water Authority for comments.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Hello, Jeremy.
Morning, Chris.
The Water Authority has no objection. The removal of the aging sanitary sewer along Alameda from San Pedro to the east property line is acceptable. As we pointed out, Lot 11A now has a better opportunity, more effective way of obtaining sanitary sewer service. Thank you.
Thank you. Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. Good morning. And code enforcement has no comments.
Parks and Recreation.
Parks has no comments, no objection to the requested amendment.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has no objection.
Transportation.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I have no objection.
And Ms. School will give planning comments.
Planning also has no objection to the request, and we defer to the Water Authority. The applicant did adequately justify this request.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gould. And we have your, Mr. Shell, we have your infrastructure list, correct?
This is Jeremy. Yes, you have my proposed infrastructure list.
Okay. And then we will, like I said earlier, we would need to sign that this afternoon or tomorrow morning. Sometimes it takes a little while to get it all the way through everybody this way. I'll ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the amendment to the infrastructure list. And let's start with the Water Authority.
Chris Galena with the Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approves.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote to approve item one, project 2018-1346, amendment to infrastructure list 2020-82, because the application meets the applicable requirements of the IDO and DPM. And thank you very much, Mr. Shell. And like I said, we hope you and the Green Jeans West LLC have good success in opening up this business.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, just a reminder to our audience, number two is deferred to June 24th. We are on item number three, project 2019-2519. This is a preliminary final plat 2019-122. This is for Porfi O. Maldonado, at 801 and 813 Gibson Boulevard Southeast, a lot line adjustment. The applicant team, would you please raise your hand? You can use the Zoom feature. You can also press star 9 on audio. I see JAG Planning and Zoning. Can you go ahead, let's unmute. I think that is Ms. Garcia, but I should have her introduce herself.
Yes. Hi, I'm Juanita Garcia with JAG Planning and Zoning.
Okay. Ms. Garcia, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. And is there anyone else we need to bring into this conversation as the applicant
team? No.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give us an update? I think we last talked to you back in October, and then you were deferred in May. So go ahead and bring us up to date on where you are now.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Hello. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanita Garcia with JAG Planning and Zoning. And so this item is actually we've been waiting a long time to get this to this point. So originally we had submitted a subdivision plat to incorporate tract one or lot 1A and 2A together. 2A is located east of lot 1A, which is the lot that's highlighted on your screen there. Over time, we abandoned that that request to combine those two lots and moved forward with combining lot 2-1 or 1-1A, sorry, with a portion of Walter Street that was just recently vacated. So the last time we were here in front of you all, we had received a recommendation of approval from you all to vacate a portion of Walter Street, which is immediately west of lot 1A. That whole vacation process went through City Council and was ultimately approved by City Council on February 3rd. And I hope that you all received the documents that was part of the record for the vacation request. And so now we're back to get to incorporate the portion of Walter Street with lot 1A. So also since during that time, we had been working with the Water Authority to see if we could acquire all of Walter Street, since when a road is vacated, you all know that the property owners adjacent to the road have the right to purchase that vacated road. And so the Water Authority had the right to purchase the western portion of Walter Street that was vacated. So after discussion and negotiations with the Water Authority, we were able to obtain a vehicular access agreement, where the Water Authority has given away the rights to purchase that portion of Walter Street, and has allowed our client to take all of that vacated portion of the road, with the condition that there would be a vehicular access to the neighboring lot to the west, and then any other allow for any other easements that were that exist in that area. So we've done that, and we've also forwarded that that agreement to you all. So the last I heard from the Water Authority, we were working with Peter O, who's the attorney for the Water Authority. He was able to get Mark Sanchez, the executive director, to sign the agreement, and was working on having the agreement recorded. So I had reached out to Mr. O as late as yesterday, and hadn't heard back as to what the status is on the recording, but assume that that will happen any day now. I know with the with the pandemic, services even at the county clerk's office has been very limited, and so that's why we weren't able to get that recorded in a timely manner. So in addition to working with the Water Authority, we were also working with Real Property, Mr. Scott Howell, because in order for our client to purchase the portion of Walter Street that was vacated, we would need to work with the Real Property to establish the estimate, the cost estimate for that purchase, and to work with them to actually make the purchase. So we've been working with Mr. Howell. We did get an estimate earlier in this process, but that expired. That estimate expired in late March. And since early March, we had been working with Mr. Howell to get an update on the estimate, knowing that the estimate was going to expire in late March, but we have not received that estimate as of yet. We've also forwarded the agreement that we had reached with the Water Authority to Mr. Scott Howell to demonstrate that that the Water Authority is giving up their side of the road, and allowing Mr. Maldonado to obtain all of Walter Street. So that was the other thing that Mr. Howell needed from us, to demonstrate that that they're releasing their rights to that. And so we did forward that to Mr. Howell as well. Mr. Howell indicated to us that he would need to have his signature on the plat as well once our client has paid for the portion of Walter Street. And so we know that that's going to be necessary during this whole process as well. So that's the latest in terms of what we're needing to get in order for this subdivision plat to proceed. We've also have looked at the comments and can address the comments as they come in. Is that okay?
Yes, Ms. Garcia, that's a good way to do it.
Okay.
Thank you for all that detail. Mr. Rodenbeck, can you take the right side where the plat is? Can you zoom in? I'm wanting to look at, yeah. Okay, so Ms. Garcia, so Walter Street vacated, and then to the west of that, it says 30-foot public water line, sanitary sewer easement, and private access easement. Okay. So is that the vacated part of Walter Street there? Is that the other half?
Madam Chair, very... yes, Juanita Garcia, okay. Yes, that is also the vacated part. It's just the western part of Walter Street that was vacated.
Okay, yeah, it looked very, very wide to me, but okay, I'm not the surveyor, so.
Madam Chair, members of the board, yes. The vacated road is 60 feet, so and that should demonstrate 30 feet of it.
Okay. Let's go ahead let me just double check. Do we have anyone from the public here that would like to speak on item 3? You need to raise your hand in Zoom in the participant list section, or raise your hand in your video, or press *9 if you're on audio. Any member of the public that wishes to speak on this? All right, I don't see anyone, correct, Mr. Martinez?
I'm sure I confirm. I did not see anyone with their hand raised.
Okay, let's go to the Water Authority then for comments.
Hello, Wayne. This is Chris Goodman with the Water Authority. So I just had a previous comment from our last year B hearing that I don't know if we've confirmed. Have you contacted 811 or your surveyor to confirm that the existing public water line is within the 30-foot easement that you're proposing?
Mm, Good morning, Chris. This is Juanita Garcia. I believe that we did get some records from the Water Authority, which did demonstrate that there was a water line in that area. And I thought that was included in a previous submittal, but I could be wrong. But yes, that is my understanding, is that there is a water line in that area.
There is, but have you confirmed with 811? It's that third-party service that actually goes out and line spots the utilities, just to understand location, so that you can then understand its relation to the easement. And in other words, if the water line happens to be outside the easement, then we might need more easement. If it happens to be centered on an easement, then that's what we're after. But have you had a chance to confirm that physical location by contacting 811 as previously discussed?
Madam Chair, Chris Cadena, this is Juanita Garcia. No, we have not done that, and we can do that. We'll call the 811 to have them identify the water line there, and then confirm that location in relation to the easement.
That would be really helpful, because if the water line happens to be just right at the proposed easement line, then we may need a little bit more easement. But all we're trying to do is just make sure that it's centered, just so that our crews have the ability to operate and maintain that line without being on private property and not having that ability. So I appreciate the information you provide with regard to the access easement that you've been working with our attorney. And I was hoping, or it may make sense, to incorporate that recording information on the plat. Is that something we can do?
So are you, yes, we can incorporate that language into the plat. Not sure exactly what you're needing. Are you needing the whole agreement? Are you needing just some language of reference to
just
the
actual maybe a document recording? Number.
Okay, a document number?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm guessing. And let me just get your thoughts. Given that the plat proposed or grants an easement, not only for access, but also utility, what is the, and just for my understanding, the need for an agreement, is that was that something that legal required? I'm just curious, because the easement itself provides the same rights as the agreement. Is that the case?
Madam Chair, members, Chris, that agreement was requested by Peter O.
Okay.
So I don't know if he felt more comfortable with having an agreement in addition to the language on the plat.
Okay, and that's fine. And it may be helpful just to reference that document number, just so that it's on the plat for future reference. And I have no further comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to code enforcement.
Good morning. Carl Garcia with code enforcement. Just a reminder that the airport protection overlay zone applies to this property, and code enforcement has no objections or comments.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation?
Oh, thank you.
Ms. Garcia, sorry.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We have no additional comments and no objection to the requested plat.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Please provide a cross lot drainage easement, blanket exclusive of buildings on lot 1A1 and 2A1 for the benefit of 2A1 and lot 6 of Anderson and Thaxton. Name maintenance responsibility. An approved grading and drainage plan is required, and a drainage easement will be required over the storm drain and inlets.
Thank you. Any questions?
So if I can address that, Madam Chair, let me see, sorry, let me get to those comments. Okay, Ernest, So, and I do apologize, with, you know, with all that's going on and our limited access to the city surveyor, we were only able to get the comments that were received by the city surveyor on Monday. And then we had to get the owner to sign that particular plat because, of course, it changed the plat. Yesterday we submitted a new, a revised plat, which shows, the owner's signature, the surveyor's signature, and we're hoping that you could all consider it today. We did incorporate some of that language or the language that you were requesting, and so, Mr. Armijo, and so we were hoping that that satisfies your requirement. Now, in regards to the grading and drainage plan, we're asking that that be deferred until a construction actually happens on the site. Originally, the applicant was going to build a building on the site, but now, given the circumstance of the pandemic, the owner is not sure if he's able to build. Unfortunately, his business has dropped by 70% because of this pandemic. And so he is not sure if he's able to construct as he originally thought.
Okay. So, all right, let me see. Yes, and thank you very much. This is Ernest Armijo Hydrology. Maggie Gould did send out your revised plat this morning. I just barely got a chance to look at it. So as I'm looking at it now, it looks like you're no longer combining 2A1 and 1A1. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so that note would no longer apply for there. Unfortunately, we still will need a grading and drainage plan for the vacated section that you're adding on from Walter. And unfortunately, looking at your note for the easement, the way you have it worded is you have your public water line, sanitary sewer, and storm drain inlet easement and private access easement granted to the Albuquerque Bernalillo County Water Utility Authority. Unfortunately, the storm drain doesn't belong to Water Authority. So that's a separate entity. That's the city of Albuquerque. So you couldn't use that wording in there. The city does have standard notes for storm drain easement. So if you can incorporate that in there.
Okay, great. And so you there is standard language. Is that something I could get from your website, or is that something
you can get that from our website. If you have trouble with that, you can go ahead and contact me outside of the meeting and I can get that to you.
Okay, perfect. Okay, we can work on that.
Okay.
So just to clarify, Mr. Armijo, and then I'll get to Mr. Cadena. So Mr. Armijo, you're saying that you do need a grading and drainage plan.
That is correct.
Flat. Okay. Mr. Cadena, let's go back to you.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Juanita, will that language change be required to be updated in the agreement that you had worked with our executive director and Peter O?
Let me look at that language. I don't think so. The language in the vehicular cross access agreement was really mostly for vehicular access.
Correct, but it included the references to, I believe, was public water, sewer, and I can't recall if it included the reference to the storm drain. Can you check?
The language that I see in the agreement does not reference the storm drain. I believe the language is mostly just in the plat in regards to what the easement.
You provided, this is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. You provided an Exhibit A in the agreement that did pretty much, you know, it was a duplicate of what was shown on the plat.
Yes. Oh, I see. So that exhibit itself?
Correct. The exhibit that's a part of the agreement.
Yes, it's quite possible. I will need to speak to Mr. O about that as well.
Jay, can you move? This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. Jay, would you be able to, do you have this packet for this particular DRB case?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Give me one moment.
It's included, and it's a quick
check. This is Jay Rodenbeck. I got the supplemental pulled up that we received last night. Give me one second.
I was hoping to pull up. Yeah, this is Chris Vance with the Water Authority. I was hoping to pull up the one that was the original review information.
Mr. Cadena, Mr. Rodenbeck might be able to do that. We'll see how quickly. Sometimes when you're connecting into our virtual network, it's a little slow, but let's see.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. This is supplemental received May 15th. Have this information?
Ms. Garcia, do you know if your supplemental does your supplemental of May 15th have this agreement in it?
Madam Chair, members of the board, yes, it does.
Okay. This is Jay Rodenbeck. I'm pulling that up. It'll pull up here momentarily. Ms. Garcia, this is Jay Rodenbeck. Ms. Garcia, can you guide me to the page in the packet to go to? 51 pages.
Madam Chair, yes, it's probably around 7 pages down. It's fairly early in the packet. It might be like right below, right
there
before
you go.
That
there, this is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. There you have it right there. So that did not include reference to storm drain. So I think the agreement is sufficient as you work with our legal team and the executive director. But for some reason, it looks like the plat added reference to storm drain as Ernest had pointed out. So the agreement looks good. It looks like you'll just have to revise language per Ernest's request on the plat. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadena. It's good to get all those T's crossed, I's dotted. All right, let's go to let's go to transportation. Well, let me just check. Mr. Armijo, are you finished with your comments?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you.
Can I go back to the grading and drainage plan? So, Mr. Armijo, you're indicating that we will need to submit a grading and drainage plan for lot 1A1 that incorporates the vacated portion of Walter Street?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and that's not anything that could be deferred until construction?
I prefer not to. It may generate infrastructure in the area, and it's something that we don't want to catch later on. We want, if it will generate infrastructure, we want to make sure it happens now.
What infrastructure are you thinking it might catch?
Well, depending on what you're planning on doing with this portion, I mean, you said that your client is looking at building at some point. So the grading and drainage would show how they're planning on arranging the lot, whether it be sidewalk, curb and gutter, roadway, whatever.
So Mr. Armijo, that's a thing. We're not sure if we are going to build, and that's why we're not wanting to go through the expense of getting a grading and drainage plan, not knowing how it's going to work with the layout of a building that may not happen until later on. I mean, we don't know what that building layout is going to look like. And so when we're doing a grading and drainage plan now, it would be based on a hypothetical building.
Okay. No, I understand your point. I understand your point. I mean, I could take it as a conceptual grading and drainage.
Okay.
I mean, something a lot simpler than tying you down to, okay, this is how you have to build it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, let's go ahead and leave that for now. We can circle back if needed, Ms. Garcia. Let's go to transportation.
Good morning, Juanita. This is Jean Wiffenberger with transportation. Per your most recent submittals, I have received the vacation decision, and I realize now that there's no lot line conflicts with your current configuration of your plat. The remaining comments that I have left is I think they're along the same lines as what Chris Cadena had mentioned. I would just like to make sure that driveway access, that 30-foot easement that you're proposing covers that access. We may need to look at the survey information. I did get the photograph this morning that you sent. Thank you for sending that. But I would just like verification that 30-foot easement will cover that access. Also, as I had mentioned, we do need that sidewalk connection from Ross to the far side of the proposed private access easement, and we would need that as part of infrastructure list requirement, even though it's a short connection. I do need to see some sort of the plat addressing this, a public sidewalk easement if need be, depending on where that sidewalk will go. I realize the inlets are in the way, but we do need to have the public sidewalk incorporated somehow as part of this platting action, both the connection as well as that sidewalk that goes along the far west side of that plat that connects Ross and Gibson.
So thank you for that, Madam Chair, members of the board. So Ms. Wolfenberg, can we go to that photo that I sent you? Just kind of wanted to explain that whole area and just to make sure I have a clear understanding as to what you're requesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So, So this is the view of the vacated portion of Walter from Ross, right? So we're looking south.
Correct.
If you'll notice, there is sidewalk all along Ross, even in the area, which is kind of surprising to me, even in the area that was actually shown as a road on the maps, you have a sidewalk in the middle of the road, essentially. And so the sidewalk goes all along, even along that curb cut there, that driveway pad, the sidewalk extends all the way up to what is that called, the that the curb, that gutter, right by the note where it says sidewalk. Sorry, you called it a particular name.
Inlet, I think.
Yes, thank you, an inlet. Yes, thank you. So that, we're just trying to get an understanding of where you're wanting the sidewalks to be. I know that, putting a sidewalk over the inlet, I think would be very difficult, very challenging task. Since Walter Street connects with Ross, technically right where sidewalk is written, we were wondering if extending the sidewalk at that area would resolve what you're requesting or not.
So what I guess what I was thinking, this is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. It looks like you perhaps have some room to go around the back of that inlet. It's hard to tell exactly by just looking at the picture, but I'm merely just looking for the sidewalk connectivity, first of all, and just making sure we have ADA access, secondly, and thirdly, that we have a public sidewalk easement defined. between the existing sidewalk that's there along the west, as well as with Ross. I just want to make sure those three things are in place. It looks like, you know, it may need to be looked at in more detail by you, and we can discuss it after the meeting.
Okay, so I guess I'm trying to get an understanding. So you're indicating that there needs to, that a sidewalk, a public sidewalk, would need to remain between Gibson and Ross?
Well, it looks like it's in place already.
Right.
And it's going to remain in place, is that not correct?
Well, yes, it's going to remain in place, but I guess, you know, only because it's already there. I don't think the property owner has intentions of removing it, but I just didn't know if there needed to be public access still available between Gibson and Ross, given that this area has now been vacated and is no longer a public road or public access.
Well, I believe that sidewalk is still part of that portion where you have the private access. So somehow I just believe that needs to be incorporated into the language, just to make sure it's maintained and defined is basically what I'm after. And we have to pay attention to sidewalk connectivity. So from the beginning, I did want the sidewalk to connect to the sidewalk along Ross. So, I mean, I realize the physical challenge is there, but it looks like it's workable somehow, as long as you make that connection perhaps around the back of the inlet. And like I said, I'd be willing to take a closer look at that after the meeting.
Right, but I guess my question is, you know, does there need to be a connection between Gibson and Ross? I mean, if the property owner wanted to remove that sidewalk there, could he do that, given that the road's been vacated?
Well, I'm actually asking for the sidewalk to be in place. Chris, do you have any objection to that?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I have not thought of that. I mean, my biggest point is we need maintenance trucks and equipment to enter, and I know there's that drive, so it needs to obviously provide vehicular access. Now, whether a person needs to get out of their vehicle and walk around to Gibson, I don't know. Our focal point is the well site west of Walter Street. But from a transportation perspective, I don't know if you just focus on vehicular and also pedestrian. We obviously want all ability to enter our site, but I don't know the need for access to Gibson. I haven't really looked into that.
Okay, Ms. Garcia. Go ahead, Mr. Cadena.
Oh, this is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Gene, just for my clarification, it's considered private access because it's a lot that really the public isn't intended to venture out on, correct? It's appropriate to call it a private access for the Water Authority site. Is that correct?
I think for that purpose it is, but I just wanted to somehow address that sidewalk, you know, as far as keeping it in place for the public, unless there's any objection.
Yeah, this is Chris, and I'll defer to Eugene and what your thoughts are. All I really need is just to make sure that we have vehicular access, which it looks like Juanita and our attorneys have worked together to get in the form of an agreement. Juanita, unless if you can maybe speak to whether or not it talks about pedestrian in that agreement. But from what I was able to recall, I think it was just vehicular.
Madam Chair, this is Juanita Garcia. Yes, there was no discussion regarding having a public access or maintaining that sidewalk for access to Gibson or Ross. I'm not sure if there needs to be any, as Mr. Cadena mentioned, but I mean, I would imagine that the property owner eventually would want to fence off that area and close the entire area from Gibson, no longer making it accessible to the public from Gibson. I mean, this area has been used really as a dumping ground. It's been seen as an alley, I guess, and so you've got vagrants who hang out there, who, you know, use the area for sleeping and doing drugs and stuff. What we've heard from the neighborhood is that they're happy to see that this area could potentially be closed off and cleaned up. So to maintain a public sidewalk between Gibson and Ross in that area would defeat that whole purpose of vacating that area and trying to enclose it and use it for the purpose of the property owner.
Okay, Ms. Garcia, I think this might need a little bit more review and discussion. So for now, let's go ahead and move on. Did you have anything else, Ms. Wolfenberger, in your comments?
No, Madam Chair, I didn't. I understand your concerns, Juanita, and I'm willing to discuss this further. I think the main thing in this case is just to make sure we have that connection on Ross, to fill in that gap. And if we want to talk about closing that off, the rest of that area off, then that's something that we can talk about outside of the meeting.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Let's go to planning and Ms. Gould.
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. The applicant has provided the owner's signature and the surveyor's signature, as we talked about earlier. We're still missing the signature from the city surveyor. And then the only other comments we had were just the basic, we'll need all utilities as well as a MAFCA before the chair can sign off and the DXF file. But it sounds like there are, beyond just sort of the city surveyor signature, we have some other things that we need to discuss.
Right. And then, of course, the real property division will need
exactly,
that signature
yes.
on there as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ms. Garcia, it looks like we need to defer this mm-hmm. in order to resolve some language from Water Authority, hydrologies, grading and drainage, and then issues related to transportation and the sidewalk. What do you think would be a good timeline for a deferral? Like I said, we're not meeting next week, and absolutely we need to have the city surveyor signature before the DRB can approve this.
Right.
And it should be there before actually we meet on it again. We should have the city surveyor signature on there before we were to discuss it. Some of the other utility signatures can be delegated, but the city surveyor cannot be.
Okay. So I'm not sure how long it takes for 811 to go out there. Does anybody know?
Mr. Cadena?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I don't know specifically. I think within a week, within a week, I would say.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, I would propose that we meet on the 17th. Can I check my calendar real quick?
Sure.
Yes, the 17th.
Okay. Is there a motion to defer item 3, project 2019-2519, preliminary final plat 2019-122 to the June 17th meeting of the DRB?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. I move to move agenda item number 3 to June 17th.
Thank you. A second?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I make a second to the motion.
Okay, we're ready to the 17th. Sorry to cut you off. Let's go ahead and vote, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Galena with the Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Jill Sommerfeld, Parks and Recreation, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 3 to June 17th, 2020 DRB meeting. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Garcia. We are ready to move to agenda item number 4. This starts our sketch plats. The first one is project 2020-3795, and that's a corrected number. So 3795 is the correct number. And it's sketch plat 2020-44. Tim Nisley located at 3118 11th Street Northwest. Is the applicant, can you raise your hand using the Zoom feature in the participants list? If you go to your participants list, it's there. You can raise your hand in video or audio. If you're on audio, press star 9 on your phone. I see a Justin Simonson. Are you with this project by chance? Justin, are you there? No, okay. All right, one last time, if the applicant, I think we're looking for Tim Nisley or someone representing Tim. Okay.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I got the applicant's contact information pulled up. The applicant for the next agenda item is present, perhaps we can move this back while I get in contact with Tim.
Okay. Is there a motion from a DRB member to move item number 4, project 2020-3795, to the end of today's agenda?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. I move to move item number 4 to the end of the agenda.
Thank you.
Jill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, a second.
Okay, let's vote, starting with Water.
Chris Cavanaugh with the Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, I approve, because sometimes it's difficult to access the meeting. If you're not used to a Zoom meeting, there could be some difficulty accessing it. So we'll give this applicant a second chance to find us. We move then to item number 5, project 2020-2411. This is also sketch plat 2020-45. This is for Success Land Holdings, Inc. at 118th Street Northwest, between Amoli Mesa Avenue Southwest and Colabel Southwest. All right, would the applicant team for this project please raise your hand? I see Ms. Nielsen. I guess it's Weber. I can't see the full name. Anyone else? Okay. Is it Asa?
It's pronounced Osa.
Osa. I knew you, but I couldn't remember how to pronounce your name. And it's Osa, okay. Nielsen.
Weber.
Weber. Okay, that's what I remembered. It looks like there's a second person with you. I'm not seeing them on my list. Pull up the full list.
Madam Chair, it's Mr. Scott Steffen.
Oh, Mr. Scott Steffen. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Yes, this is Scott Steffen with Price Land Development Group. We are with Success Land Holdings, LLC.
Perfect. Okay. Which one of you would like to help us understand your project? Give us some details.
This is Åsa Nilsson-Weber.
Okay.
And I just want to give a little bit of background. This property is about 82.9 acres. And the development of this site has been in the works for quite some time already. And there was actually an approved preliminary plat that expired this year. But now there are new developers and they are planning to subdivide the property into 506 residential single detached lots. And it's going to be a private gated community and it's going to be developed in four phases. And there are also open space tracts throughout the site that will be maintained by the Homeowners Association. And the Memorial Park is surrounded by this site on three sides, and we will not provide any access to the park. But we will accept some drainage from the park that is currently draining onto the site on the, in a temporary pond. So we will accept that those flows into the storm drain system in the site. And we will be submitting a utility availability request shortly, probably later this week. And I also want to mention that all the drainage from the site will go to the southeast corner at Colabel, where there's a 78-inch storm drain that will capture all the flows from the subdivision. And then okay. I would like to turn it over to you for any comments you may have. Unless, Scott, if you want to fill in on anything that you think that we should mention.
This is Scott Steffen. I have nothing to add at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Nilsson-Weber and Mr. Steffen. Let's go to board comments. Water Utility Authority.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Hello, Åsa. Hello, Scott. As you mentioned, an availability statement will be required prior to preliminary plat approval. We'll look at all the connection opportunities for water and sanitary sewer. If you can also please provide a utility plan for review, and that would be really helpful just so that we can understand kind of what your overall intent is. We have no further comments. Thank you.
This is Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I have no comments at this time.
Okay, Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. It sounds like the applicant addressed our initial concerns, which is that the development should not drain onto the park, which is now called the Women's Memorial Park, and that there should be no access directly from the development into the park. It should be from the park accesses from Amole Mesa Avenue Southwest only. The other thing is that Parks and Recreation generally requests that interior green spaces owned by the by Homeowners Association be built to city standards for irrigation.
Okay. Do you have any questions, Ms. Nilsson-Weber?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Let's continue with hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Hydrology will need an approved master drainage plan and or drainage report for the overall subdivision prior to approval of preliminary plat or site plan for subdivision. Please note that there may be some off-site drainage retention ponds needed on the west side of 118th Street to capture off-site drainage. Hydrology will need an approved grading and drainage plan prior to each of the four units' preliminary plat approval with an infrastructure list.
Any questions for Mr. Armijo?
No, thank you.
Okay, let's move to transportation.
Yeah.
Let's see, Ms. Wolfenberger froze up. Let's go ahead and go to planning, and we'll try to see what is going on with Ms. Wolfenberger's feed. Planning, Ms. Gould, are you there?
Yes, this is Maggie Gould. So we had a variety of, we had the sort of the standard informational comments for the applicant, and then this property is zoned R1A, so it's subject to future development as future, is subject to the lot standards of the R1A zone. So minimum of 3,500 square feet, minimum lot width of 25 feet. This property does not have an overlay zone. So we'll need to also see the widths of the lots shown, and then just clarifying the setbacks that are allowed, just again, so that if the applicant is showing a building envelope, we make sure that that building envelope meets the underlying zoning. We wanted to clarify the details with the green spaces on the plat. Are those drainage or those public green space? And it sounds like we've sort of talked a little bit about that. We'd recommend that those areas be landscaped. And then this, the triangular piece there off of 118th looks like it's still right of way, but we want to kind of clarify that and how that works into this project. And then please see section 5.3, which is about access and connectivity for connections to adjacent land, and then for requirements for residential development. The cul-de-sac that is in the far right-hand corner of the map, we would like discussion with the applicant and with transportation about that actually connecting through to Colobel. And if it can't in terms of traffic, then like at minimum, I think a pedestrian connection would be appropriate there, because we do want that increased both vehicular and pedestrian connectivity. And then we've detailed the R1A regulations. Also, because of the size and number of lots, this will be a major plat. So we will expect a preliminary plat and then a final plat, and we've included those details in our comments as well. And then I believe that's it. Yes, thank you.
Ms. Nielsen-Weber, do you have any questions?
No, we'll work on that cul-de-sac and see what we can do as far as the pedestrian connection. The only thing is that they would have to add another gate since it's a private development. Mm-hmm. But we'll discuss that.
Okay, yeah, and that can be discussed. And then in terms of the green spaces, what was your intention there with those? It looks very nice what you're trying to do. There's various corridors of green spaces. Sometimes it's a lot near an entryway to the subdivision.
This is Åsa Nilsson-Weber. Yes, they are provided as a private open space. Some are going to have like small parks. Others are going to be just landscape buffers. And then the open space adjacent to the property, adjacent to the perimeter of the site, they are intended for where there are retaining walls that are past the property perimeter wall, so that strip will be maintained by the homeowners association.
Okay, and that triangle off of 118th Street, just east there, and I think can you tell us about that?
That is currently not part of this property, but they are looking at potentially incorporate or buy that portion and incorporate that into the site, but that is outside of the property limits at the moment.
Okay. Okay. And there's quite, and I think you're pretty experienced. There's quite a bit of information that Ms. Gould was referring you to in the IDO for a subdivision like this, related to block lengths. It looks like you have the right solar orientation that is suggested by the IDO. So there's just quite a bit of information in there. We just want to make sure that you carefully go through all those requirements in your layout. Okay. We're going to go back to transportation, but any more questions for planning?
No.
Okay. Let's go to transportation. I think Ms. Wolfenberger had to rejoin the meeting. Are you there now, Ms. Wolfenberger?
Yes, Madam Chair, I am here. I'm glad to be back. Zoom
you.
had dropped me, and that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
So Good morning, Elsa. First of all, in the traffic impact study, I just need to have that completed and approved prior to preliminary plat approval or to site plan approval. Also, I'll need to have the roadway cross sections shown and the infrastructure list to be based on all the different roadway improvements that are required both on-site and off-site. Make sure the road the infrastructure list will include the roadway widths face-to-face of curb, sidewalk and curb and gutter. And I had met with you and Ed Scott, or Fred and Scott earlier, regarding the proposed roadway widths on site. And at that time, you had some variance proposed to some of the roadway widths that were based on the average annual daily traffic. And at the time, we had some discussion, but I didn't see that as part of that submittal. So I just wanted to note that when you actually make a submittal for the plat approval, go ahead and also submit the variance request to those roadway widths if that is still applicable. And so that pretty much covers my comments for transportation.
Any questions from the applicant team?
This is Ulsa Nilsson Weber. We will provide the trip generation map with the preliminary plat submittal and any variances that we request.
Okay, Ms. Wolfenberger or Ms. Sommerfeld, did we need to bring up a trail on 118th Street? I'm not sure where that stands.
I'm sorry. I remember Jean talking about that, but I don't have more information about that. I think part of the complexity of this is, like we talked about, is that it has some county property. So I'm wondering if, the county has some project, but I would have to look into that a little further.
Okay. So just kind of a tab of something that needs to be explored, whether or not there's a trail proposed for 118th Street. So there's, this is quite a exciting project. It's very large. It's a big subdivision. There's a lot of details in the IDO to govern it. And so we will be giving you sketch plat comments and a sketch plat sheet. And it just might take a little while because we want to make sure, we don't want to rush it. We want to try to give you some sufficient detail for this, Ms. Nielsen and Mr. Stefan, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
If there aren't any further questions, we're going to go back to item number 4. I saw that Mr. Nisley entered the Zoom meeting.
Yes.
Thank you. And is it, can you pronounce your last name?
Nisley,
thank you. So this is a return to item 4 on our agenda, project 2020-3795, sketch plat 2020-44. It's for Tim Nisley, located at 3118 11th Street Northwest. This is a sketch plat review for replat, bringing two homes into compliance with existing zoning. Mr. Nisley, do you want to give us an overview of what you're wanting to do on this property?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is two homes in the North Valley, zoned R1D. It's on about a half an acre piece of land. You have the information in front of you on that. But I'm hoping to split the land into two properties that more closely conform to existing zoning in that area. That's about it. I'm in the exploratory phase of this process. So this is really information gathering to find out if this is feasible. I would be particularly interested in any potential roadblocks or things that might not be overcomable in getting this plat action done. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Wise move on your part. Let's start with the Water Utility Authority and giving comments.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Hey, Tim. Prior to plat approval, Each dwelling shall have its own separate account as well as separate water and sanitary sewer services. So that will need to be confirmed prior to the plat. And just keep in mind that no services shall be shared between the two dwellings. And a private water and sanitary sewer easement shall be granted across the west lot for the benefit of the east lot. And that's all we have. Thank you.
Any questions?
Mr. Cadena, yes, thank you. On that easement, there is an existing driveway. Would the easement have to be separate from the driveway outside of the drive? How does that work for a project like this?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I'll leave it up to you however you'd like to do it. All I really need to keep an eye out for is just that you're not landlocking the property. Now, if there is existing services that are kind of serving the back lot or the east lot, then you'd want to locate that easement to preserve said utility lines. If they do not exist, then you really have blank canvas so that you can install them wherever you would like, and then you can put that easement accordingly.
Great, thank you.
Okay, code enforcement.
Good morning, this is Carl Garcia with code enforcement. I've got a couple of comments for you. It's my understanding you attended a PRT, correct? And received those comments already?
Virtual PRT, yes.
Okay. So yeah, I'm gonna reiterate the comments that they had and we'll go over those in detail. I did work on the contextual standard yesterday, but I did not have an accurate number because the easement needs to be deducted from the lot size. But on initial review, you would need for sure one variance for the smaller lot. And that might change once I get actual numbers with the access easement deducted. And we're also gonna need, so that would be one, potentially one variance to contextual size, potentially a variance to minimum lot size, variance to what appears the rear yard setback from the front house, and the second house might require variances as well. And that's what I have for now.
Thank you. In projects like this, excuse my relative inexperience on this.
Mr. Nicely, just if you wouldn't mind, just introduce yourself each time you speak. We're doing a audio recording, and if we ever have to do audio minutes of this, it's helpful to know who's speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Tim Nicely. Thank you for that feedback. In projects like this, historically, are these variances, since they are existing structures, are these variances, are they administrative? Are they public process? What's generally the difficulty level for variances to, for example, setback or lot size with something like this?
Yeah, I mean, basically all I can let you know that it is a public hearing. As far as difficulty level, I wouldn't be able to give you that information. That just depends on the case that you put on and how you match up the, you know, what's in the code today. But it is a public hearing and with public notification and public input. So,
Mr. Garcia, if I could give some input here, this is Chair Wolfley. When you go before the zoning hearing examiner, there's a certain set of criteria that you need to address and justify your variance. And some of the factors relate to unique conditions in the configuration of the property or the topography or other things of the property. And another important component is that the conditions aren't self-imposed. And so that's what gets a little bit tricky when you're creating, you're trying to replat, and that is a self-imposed situation. But we can discuss that with you further at another time, but there are definitely specific standards that the zoning hearing examiner has to review in granting a variance. Do you have any questions? Mr. Nicely?
This is Mr. Nicely. No. That satisfies that. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to Parks.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Recreation. We have no comments.
Before we go on, Mr. Nisley, one other item was it looks like there's a porch of some sort connecting the two homes right where your lot line would go through. Can you identify what that is? Is that some sort of a porch or breezeway connecting the homes?
This is Mr. Nisley. There's a courtyard on the other side of that wall. So it's just a garden wall with a courtyard on the other side, creating a courtyard, a private courtyard. Okay. The wall may be demolished depending on the requirements to replat.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. Ms. Sommerfeld, did you give your comments?
Parks and Rec has no comments for this.
No comments. Okay. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Please add a cross-lot drainage easement note specifying the beneficiary and maintenance agreement. This lot is in the valley and therefore very flat, so the lot doesn't drain into the roadway.
Any questions? So I think he's saying the lot cannot drain into the roadway.
This is Mr. Nisley. So that would require on-site ponding?
This is Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Odds are there currently is on-site ponding. What I'm asking is that you add a cross-lot drainage easement, since the whatever storm water now may be shared between what would potentially be two lots, you need the cross-lot drainage easement with noting beneficiary and maintenance responsibilities.
Thank you. This is Mr. Nisley. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to transportation.
Yes, good morning. This is Jean Wolfenbarger with transportation. I had a number of comments on this. I wanted to start off with the more minor ones. You do have sidewalks shown in front of your property. I just want to verify that that's a minimum of 4 foot wide between the curb and the back of sidewalk. Otherwise, it may need to be widened, so that width will have to be listed in your submittal. Also, there's some fencing within the right-of-way, as you've noted. The fencing in the right-of-way, either that will need to be removed and relocated to the property line, or else a revocable permit will be needed in order to keep that in the right-of-way. The other thing is, I do note that you show a 20-foot access easement there. That should be sufficient for the back lot and for fire access. But I would ask that you go ahead and seek fire marshal approval for this platting action. Also, there's some overhead electric that's there. I just wanted to make sure that coordination was done with PNM to make sure they don't need any easements in this case. So just coordinate with them on that. Also, the biggest comment I have is just to make sure that we have a turnaround for the fire trucks. And it looks, because that dead-end street doesn't have a hammerhead, it's not in the shape of a cul-de-sac, so there has to be some way for the fire trucks to turn around. And so they can use that 20-foot access easement, perhaps, but that would need to be coordinated with them to be sure that that will work. So that concludes my comments.
Thank you. Ms. Gould, or Mr. Nisley, do you have any questions on those comments? Quite a bit to digest there.
Lots to digest. The biggest question is the fire, the one that's would be very hard to resolve is if the required fire marshal requires a turnaround back there. There may not be enough space back there to create a turnaround, but that's a question for the fire marshal, I would assume, not this body.
Yes, I will require fire marshal approval prior to this. I just wanted to make sure that the turnaround was in place, and I don't think it'll be as bad as you think it'll be. You already have that public that easement that you proposed to work with, as well as the street. So those two areas can be used for them to turn around in.
This is Mr. Nisley. Thank you. Mm-hmm. No further questions. That does it for me.
Okay. Let's go ahead to Ms. Gould for planning comments.
Thank you. This is Maggie Gould. So we have the standard comments about this is your project number. And we need to make sure that, we're clear that the project number, the last four digits are 3795 rather than 25. So again, the lot split, the minimum size, which code enforcement went through, and we'll have to, it sounds like they need some clarification on lot size. We did have a comment, I guess, and I don't know if this is correct from code enforcement, but that this replat does meet the standards in 14.16.5.4 C1B because it meaningfully decreases the degree of existing nonconformity by creating one parcel per dwelling rather than having two dwellings on a single parcel. And then we reiterate the issues with setbacks. Also, it looks like there are the buildings at the rear of the lot encroach into utility easements, and so the applicant will need to clarify those easements, and those easements need to be vacated, or they need to work out some building encroachment with that. And also, it looks like we have encroachment in the front into the right-of-way on 11th Street, and so again, there's a fence there. So that fence either would need to be removed, or we'd need to enter into a revocable permit and an encroachment agreement with the city. And then we also go through the minor subdivision process for this. And that's all, and I'm happy to try to answer any questions.
Okay. I think
Mr. Nisley, do you have questions for Ms. Gould?
This is Mr. Nisley. No, I've reviewed your comments on the PRT as well. Thank you for helping with that one. I think I'll have to uncover more questions as the process goes along, but thank you.
Okay. Could we go for a moment? Is Mr. Biazar on the line, our city engineer?
I don't believe Mr. Biazar is on the line currently.
Okay. So what we kind of uncovered in looking at this, Mr. Nisley, that was that there was quite a bit of easement for the ditch and other utilities crossing the property, and then, you know, various structures and portions of those structures or walls or fences that could be encroachments. So there's quite a bit of things to digest here, in other words. And we just want to make sure we're helping you as much as possible do the evaluation that you need. I was trying to find the reference while they were talking. I was trying to find the reference in the IDO that talks about receiving variances through our zoning hearing examiner. That's a public hearing. Those are being done virtually, as like this meeting is. And those occur weekly. I think there's one tomorrow, for example, tomorrow or Friday, I can't remember which. But anyhow, we will put in our comments a reference to that section of the IDO because I wasn't able to bring it up right away. Unless Mr. Martinez or Ms. Gould, do you know the section that shows the criteria for a zoning variance? I was just trying to buzz
Madam
through the
Chair,
idea.
Madam Chair, this is Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement.
Yes.
I just want to clarify for the record, the ZHE hearings are held monthly.
Correct. I think that's what I did say, but...
Okay.
Okay.
And Madam Chair? The variance ZHE is section 66N, and that's on page 412 of our IDO.
Okay. So, and Mr. Nisley, you have access to the IDO from the planning department's website. And you can look for, what was that page number again, Ms. Gould? For
That was 412.
412.
And it's section 66N, variance DHE.
Yeah, I think that would be important for you to review. Does anyone have any additional comments from DRB members? Okay, and Mr. Knisley, do you have any additional questions?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for your time on this. Appreciate the input.
Okay, you're very welcome. Now for our DRB members, our last item is to approve our action sheet minutes from May 13, 2020. Is there a motion to approve?
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I move to approve the action sheet minutes from the last meeting, May 13th.
Is there a second?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay. Let's go ahead and vote, starting with Water.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, approves.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, approves.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, approves.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, approves.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to approve the action sheet minutes of May 13th, 2020. All right. Thank you, everyone. It is 10:37, and we are adjourned. And you can quit recording.